Crunchroll, sure.
We're establishing a quorum.
Quorum.
Oh, Karen.
Ward here.
Kitty Shields here.
Brian Earl's here.
Kim Baldick's here.
Connie Brace here. Ken, you want to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Sure. Thank you very much. Oh.
Did I pick on you in the wrong time?
I can do this.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Ken. So I think we talked about moving the discussion to the community funding to the end,
yeah.
And we kind of did that last year to finish working through the budget review instead. So I think we'll probably just continue with that where we stopped last time.
Sounds great.
Cool.
So if I remember correctly, we had just turned from the Streets Fund to the Community Development Fund, which is worksheet page number 8.
Yep.
This fund was created a few years ago for essentially planning services when the city assumed land use decisions from the county. And so a couple of points to highlight on this worksheet in the revenue side would be on planning fees. So far, we're projecting to bring in about $25,000 in planning fees for this fiscal year, and we've almost reached that now, so we're being fairly conservative with some more applications coming in March. These numbers are year-to-date through February, so they've even increased in the last couple of months. With more planning fees, though, comes more time needed on the processing side with planning staff and with legal staff. And so what you see down below in materials and services on contracted services there is an increase to $60,000 from what was budgeted last year, which was $50,000.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's to pay for some more time with planning staff. Just below that, engineering costs is increased to $8,000. One of the things we did this year was break engineering costs out of contracted services. Last year they were sort of wrapped into contracted services, but there's enough funds that we're pulling engineering costs from this year that we separated it out. So this helps to fund our engineer of record when he'll come to pre-construction meetings where you're sitting down with developers looking over site plans. He'll go on site and review site plans, make sure that the footings are as wide as they say they are, and they're building to the plans that were submitted and
this
approved.
Is Eric Huffman.
Yeah, he's our engineer of record as of, I don't know, maybe about 6 months ago, and it's been great. It's a great asset to have. So we've increased that line item a little bit, anticipating more demand on engineering services. And then he's also been working on some development standards. Again, kind of like I'd mentioned, Tammy, the city planner, working on strengthening the code. He can be working on some development standards, which makes it easier when a developer comes in and says, okay, I have to build a sidewalk. How thick does it have to be? You know, what are the specs? Well, instead of having a meeting and saying the same thing, he's building some standards that it'll be easier to share that information. And just below engineering costs is the legal fees expense. And similarly, that's increased $4,000 from last year's budget for two reasons, largely. One is working with the city planner on ordinances, text amendments to the zoning ordinance, strengthening the code, but also the cost that goes into managing some of the industrial park land, creating leases and purchase options, and just transactions of sale, essentially. So that's increased a little bit there.
Now that comes back out of the money that
comes in from the sales, right?
Yeah, the agreement with the, so the county owns the property, and now as of an IGA with the city and the county, we can manage it. When a lot is sold, half, minus the expenses, half is split between the county and the city. And actually the next fund we'll go to after we're done on this page was created this year just because of that new arrangement.
Okay.
So
this is where the these fees would be come out of the expenses before, right?
For, I mean, you would take the county.
Say you get $100,000 and the expenses to get that $100,000 sale was $10,000. So somewhere in here, is that coming out of that $10,000? Are we going to take it out of our side of the fifth, you know?
My understanding is that if we're paying our legal staff, it's coming out of our half. I think the expenses are on the county side before it's then split. But I might be wrong on that. That'd be a good clarifying question for Rick. And that's a fairly new arrangement, and we haven't brought in much on that, but we're hoping to next year. So, and then let's see here, going down to miscellaneous expense, that we've increased that just to build some contingency in, not knowing whether it would go to contracted services, engineering costs, or legal fees, or one of the other line items. So we felt that having some flexibility in this fund was beneficial. So this fund really is all about paying for planning services and land use. Any specific questions on that one? No? Okay.
Corey?
Yes.
Before we move to the next fund, I want to introduce Brenda.
Oh, I'm sorry. I totally missed that.
Brenda is our CPA for those of you that don't know her. And she's here to answer your questions if you have them.
Welcome. Brenda, you should be right over here with us.
Okay.
That's.
I'm just hiding back here.
No. We need you right down here.
Yeah. Hey, Rick. On the agreement with the county on industrial property, when say a land sale is made,
right,
the county takes their expenses out, then it's split 50-50, and we pay for our legal expenses out of our half.
They don't. We don't pay them. Our legal expenses
comes out of our half.
Yes. There is no. I mean, I don't know what they do with theirs.
So when that happens in your budget, does it just come and you get the revenue, or does the expenses come out of your budget and then the revenue hits?
Well, what we were hoping to do in the future, now in this budget, in that fund, is to where you have expenses in there. I'm trying to run the pages open.
Yeah,
now, but
you got it.
But there's legal. There's the expenses you would have,
right.
And so you offset. You know, this year we have no income, so we had to front load.
Yeah.
You know, so our legal expenses in the general fund are high because we ended up paying for it.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of we built template leases, so now we could just insert your name, different acreage, but they had to build them from scratch, and they're 20 pages thick.
Yeah. So effectively what happens if it's a $100,000 sale,
yes,
and Deschutes County says, hey, it costs us $10,000 to complete this, then you guys need to buy it $90,000,
nope.
Right?
They aren't charging us their expenses.
No. If they had expenses, they're going to take the money out of the sale, right?
They don't have expenses.
Oh, they don't have.
Here's where the question comes from. When Corey said, you know, we're going to split it after expenses. So we're just trying to come up with what's the fair share?
Is there
expenses?
I don't know what their expenses are. I mean, they have their own county council that reviews it, and I don't know if they charge themselves. I mean, that's on their side. They've never told me.
Yeah.
It's split. Yeah. All we know is
$100,000 would be split.
But we know we're doing the leases on our site, so we know we have some expenses.
Okay.
James Lewis and Susan Ross, they all get paid. I mean, I don't know if they charge back to that department.
Yeah.
So really, I guess I haven't worried about what they do with theirs. I just know that we get half, and we do pay.
Jeremy, we have some costs.
The question was actually before it was split. because it was worded that there was expenses before the split.
I don't. I don't know.
I mean, you know, if we run an ad, we're going to be what like on real estate commissions come up. So now we've been talking to them about maybe splitting a real estate commission off the top. Then it split. So they would share in that, and they acted like they could probably do that. And in our agreement with them, it says if something unique came along, we could ask to split that or to if we got some extra costs that were weird.
So effectively what's going to happen is, even, let's just say that it's $100,000, say, even if there was some, they take it out, and there's 90 left, you take 45, you're going to log 45 as revenue, and then you're going to take the expenses out of your expense budget.
And this is a guess, he already told you that, is the income.
Well, we haven't talked about the fund yet. I was kind of translating
it.
Sorry. So, sort of to better track all of this, the revenue and the expenses associated with the industrial park land and the agreement with the county, staff's proposing the creation of a new fund, the Industrial Economic Development Fund, which does not have a page number, but it's after page 8, so it would be page 9, it's after the Community Development Fund. And as Rick was mentioning, for revenues, we put in some anticipated numbers, some ideal numbers, not knowing how many leases and purchase options and actual sales will occur next year. And it's very important as we move through this fund to remember that a lot of the line items below under materials and services are contingent on how much revenue is brought in. So there's not going to be money spent that does not come in. So we had budgeted, you know, $10,000 of revenue for industrial site leases, $50,000 for site sales and options, not knowing if a big sale will occur or not, $5,000 for business sponsorships, and $1,500 for miscellaneous. And then important to note is that $25,000 transfer in from the general fund. Last year and the year before, to pay the Lapine Area Economic Development Manager, which is a position that's partially funded by the city and the county, with a contract through EDCO, Economic Development for Central Oregon, the city, through its general fund, paid for that position, paid for its share of that position. So, to try to encapsulate everything that's happening with economic development here in Lapine, we are transferring those funds into this fund. And then down below, under contract services, there's a $25,000 line item, which is to pay for the Lapine Area Economic Development Manager. $10,000 for advertising expense. It depends if there's $10,000 brought in revenue. $5,000 for legal expense. As Rick was kind of saying, this year, without this fund and without some funds built up from leases and purchase options, we were subsidizing that, some of the upfront costs to build those templates with the general fund, or maybe even out of the community development fund legal expense. I'm not 100% sure. $5,000 for meetings, travel, training, $2,500 for office supplies, $10,000 for miscellaneous expense. Any questions on that top portion? Those top portions?
The revenue side.
Okay.
The revenue side. Yeah, so just, I mean, he said it, just remember, if the money doesn't come in, it's not spent. The first year is always the toughest. When you have something that we literally could have a $500,000 sale. But if I put $500,000, I mean, that doesn't make sense. So you just guess. If the bottom line is, if there isn't that 50 grand, then all those numbers down below, they're not getting spent. The only thing getting spent is the 25 grand we're transferring in. That otherwise it's based off income is the way to look at it. And we've warned the committee, which is a volunteer group of about 11 or something, has Sun River folks involved, and it has a bunch of business people, you know, and the director. We've told her. We met with Sun River and her over this because they see the dollars there, and then they think,
ooh.
Well, so we walked through. They understand it.
We did walk them through that, and the LED group has. I mentioned it in the budget message. They're well aware that if they raise funds, it can come into here and come out of here as well. So that business sponsorship, or LED contributions or
memberships.
Yes, exactly. And I know they're planning an annual luncheon in June, I believe, to kind of get a kickoff event going annually. So
that's why we decided to add another fund. The accountants and auditors, they don't like lots of funds, do they? But where you're taking in people's private donations and we're doing this thing, I'm like, if that's in that general fund with everything else, you'd never keep track of it. And they'd always think that you're doing something with it.
I agree.
They'd be suspect.
No in, no out.
Yes.
There you go.
Has there been any activity on business sponsorships yet?
Not that I know of.
They're going to make them effective July 1.
But
so they're, there are some that have committed. I know Mid-State's going to.
Okay.
So there are going to have some. Now, whether or not it's $5,000, we'll be finding out. Sun River will probably throw some in. And you know, there's some other key suspects out there. I think Russell's Mill and Wilderness Garbage.
But anybody. But
individuals, for $100, you could join.
Yeah.
And it's actually, every other town has this. It's a good deal. Someone like yourself, you belong, and you kind of help.
Liggy was that way.
Yes.
It's $50 a year.
Yes.
And I, you know, I was a member just because I wanted to.
Yeah, your mom probably did that through the, So individuals we'd like to get, and so that just kind of helps. And then they're going to have that luncheon that's going to be out at Crosswater for $20. And we're throwing in a little Mid-State is to buy it down, and then Sun River donated a bunch to make that. So that'd be kind of neat. It's a luncheon for an hour and a half on a, I'm not sure the date now, June something. But anyway. So this is all a kind of new territory, and we'll see where it goes. We do have leases coming in. We do know we'll have lease income because we've got three leases, two with one company, and then one with another. And then all our leases that come due, the county is even, then we're renewing them. They're letting that money come to us. Yeah. We did this last year's example. We did a option with a company, and it was a $5,000 option, so we got our $2,500. But we weren't separating it then. And then we just today got, or I mean, it hasn't come to us yet, but BioGreen paid $10,000 on their option, and we'll get five once it works its way through the county. Now, we spent more than that doing it because that was a more complicated, and you know, that one, as you all know, is been around a lot of years.
They're just holding on to the option to use the land.
Yes.
They're not doing anything.
Correct.
Yeah. That's been their MO since they started.
Yeah. So when we've got people looking, I think that we'll hit the lease number pretty easy and exceed it.
I would think so.
Good.
A really important piece of this fund as well is not only for, call it the yearly operations of economic development here in Lapine, but if you look down under reserves for future expenditures, the reserve future capital line item, we have put in there $30,000. The way we got to that number is that it's half of the lease and sale and option, the 50 plus the 10 at the top in revenue. So our approach is that whatever we take in revenue on that land, half of it, 50% of it, or approximately thereof, needs to be set aside for future expansion of the industrial park. And again, this is looking at probably a 10 or 20 plus year time horizon, but there will be a day when all of the land in the industrial park is sold. And at that time, if we don't have money to put water and sewer lines and build out more industrial lots, then we'll be in a world of hurt. So it's the thought that you set that aside, knowing that someday you'll want it. And hopefully, you know, there will be $1 million or more than that built up in that.
Yeah.
So.
And it could be, Brenda, down the road. I mean, that would, if it's going to be that big of it, do we need a reserve fund for that? Or we can, right now, we can do it there.
Yeah, right now you can do it here. Because where it'll end up is it'll end up in your beginning fund balance, and then you'll just reserve it again. Next year, only the double of it. Yeah.
Yes.
So it gets a little, trying to keep that number intact, you know, you could set up a reserve fund for it if you wanted. You could.
Yeah.
But for now, it's probably pretty easy to track for the next 5 years.
And then we need to refine that number. We want to base it off some science. Right now, that was kind of pulled out of thin air. It's probably lower than it should be. It probably should be more like 60 or maybe 70%. But we'll see. And because we want to, and I think that all of you will appreciate, because that's been my MO here, is to make sure we have money to do things in the future. And if to a degree, I say it's, if you really want to think it simple, if you sell an acre of ground, in some point you're going to have to do what?
Buy
an acre. If I sell an acre of ground, and that included a road, a water line, and a sewer line, and a sidewalk, what am I going to have to do?
Put in a sewer.
Put a sewer, a road, and a sidewalk. So think of it this way. When we're 100 acres sold, now I got to go take a new 50, like the pivot is an area, because the pivot, you know, it's going to be east. You'll take that pivot area. We're going to have to go in and punch in roads and run full utilities. If you don't have $1 million in the bank, you're going to have to go to a loan. Then, if you don't, you go through 5 years of a downturn and you don't sell a lot like they did, they had 7 years without a lot sale. Guess what keeps someone due? The bill.
Interest.
The interest and the principal. So, I'm just like, don't want to set us up for failure. And you'll need to hold your ground on that, you guys, because it's so important. Because what will happen, I can just guarantee it, once that's $200,000 or $300,000, and then they say, you know, we'd like to go to this trade show in Florida that's $20,000. You know, that's this, because you see that pot there, it's just
tempting. It's tempting.
And I know this group has a lot of discipline, but I just want you to know, remember that.
Some of us who are really big fans of reserves, I hope we'll still be here in a lot of years into the future.
Yeah.
And just another thought, if you do put it in a reserve fund, then it's legally away from you.
Yeah. You can't spend it
except for the purpose that you set up the fund. So when you start building that, that's another reason to think about a reserve fund as opposed to reserve line item.
Now, and right now, is it under reserve line item?
Yeah, and you still can't spend it, but you only can't spend it
this year.
In 16, 17.
Exactly.
So, yeah. But so if you set up an actual reserve fund where you transfer into, that's legal for 10 years or until you abolish the fund, and then you can re-up that. So that's money that's out of
But at some point, it might be like there might be one for a reserve fund for just land, buying new land. So then it can only be spent on land, correct?
Well, we're just doing it as a lump, because when you build the land, you got to put in the road and sidewalk, or else you don't have any sewer and water.
But I mean, will this eventually change? I mean, or would always be called a future capital?
Well, we could change it to whatever the title, but it's capital for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
But we could change it later. If my thought is we won't have to buy land because we have enough.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you almost picture the road, I picture almost heading right into the pivot there, kind of by the...
So maybe infrastructure.
Right here.
Yeah. So maybe infrastructure will be...
You know what we do? You'd master plan 40 or 50 acres, but you just go in enough to get another 5 lots, 10 lots ready.
Yeah.
You're not going to go in and do a whole...
So it's more like infrastructure, but it's really going to be the cost.
Yes. Yeah. There really is no land we would need to buy. The other thing is there is another 40 the county has that has nothing in it that's industrial. So at this point, you know, we're going to have to put in the infrastructure. Then we'll ask for
how big is that pivot?
That pivot is 100.
160.
I'll throw a number out that's wrong, so I'm not going to say. It's big. It's a lot of years supply.
Yeah.
That's for sure. And then of course we've got the land, all of it, right? That's all of the BLM now. So, see, you could take and zone this industrial.
Yeah.
So, really, with that new, all that stuff we've got, or maybe we're right here. But, I mean, we've got land. You've got a 100-year land supply, at some point you stop planning.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know if it's 50 years or 100. We let someone else worry about it.
Yeah. So, any other questions on that? Okay.
All right, let's flip over to page 10, which is the reserve fund, speaking of reserves, for water and sewer. And what we're proposing here is at the top, a transfer in from the sewer fund of $200,000 and no transfer in from the water fund. Part of how we reach these numbers is looking at what the operational costs are in the water and sewer funds, and then also thinking ahead to where the projects are and looking at how much reserves we already have in place and trying to find a balance between those things. So if you look down to, call it the third section, where it says reserve for future expenditures, what it shows there is that we're adding in that $200,000 to the sewer reserves, the sewer future capital reserves, making it a total of $950,000. And what you actually see happening in the water fund is that some funds were needed to be transferred into the general fund from this reserve fund. Am I reading that correct?
No.
It went down.
Which one? Water?
Yes. Water.
Yeah, water. Because we just established this fund last year, and those funds got too, what I would call, commingled. When we had the districts, the way they did kind of SDC and reserves, they ended up getting commingled, and SDCs by law have to be separated. So it took us, we went back and started separating out. Well, the bottom line is this is kind of now it's all the way it needs to be. So when we estimated ahead, now the reason there's no the water revenue, partly because of the rate increase. This is one of the things that happens with the rate increase, is when you raise rates, usage drops, yeah, because people's water bill is up. But as the consultant told us, he said, it's like the $4 gas. Oh, everyone's carpooling, I stopped driving for about 6 months. And then I'm used to $4 gas. And so this year will be year two, and you'll see it kind of wrench back up again. But in July and August, they got their bills, it was sticker shock, they cut their use back, so that affected the income.
So it didn't actually go down, it just never got there.
It never got there. Yeah, that's the way to say it.
We over-projected. Yeah, and you don't, if you want, you can flip there, but on when we get to the water fund, what you'll see in the transfer out is that we projected transferring out, or we budgeted transferring out $400,000, but we actually ended up transferring out $365,000, okay, which is $35,000 less. Too. Oh yeah, it's there at the top. Yeah, the budgeted and the actual.
So what's the goal for reserves, and what time frame are we looking to get to that reserve?
It would go with the master plan. It'll get spent because it'll go into millions. I mean what it really is, it's all the rates are built, and the SDCs are designed. Well, we don't have a data. We just got brand new updated master plans for sewer and water. They tell you for the next 20 years what the city will need with a 2.5% growth rate of houses and so on, how big your water tank needs to be and so on, and then that's all calculated. And so the water rates are then set, and then they figure inflation and everything, and so that's kind of how this all works. So it isn't a number that you go to. I mean, it's going to get spent. We are one reason that the capital list is bigger. We, in the council direction, and I think all of you agree, after we had the water line break, we do not have a redundant system, and that's actually playing with nitroglycerin. One source, one pipe coming in from the forest is really dangerous. And you just know that. And the other problem is our fire flows aren't high enough out at Wickiup, and so we're having to get the fire chief to agree to kind of to allow some buildings to go there. Actually, don't meet the fire flow, but he's doing it because we have committed to, we're going to go east of Wendy's at Gordy's and put in another 750,000 gallon reservoir and a pump. And then they'll run in a 12-inch main from that. It'll hook in out there. So we'll have water coming from Wickiup and here, meets, increases the water flow in the whole city, and you have a redundant system. If one breaks, if a fire rolls through out there, a big forest fire, and everything gets shut down, you've got 3 miles away, you got another one running. And so, but that's a couple million bucks. And,
what parcel is that on? Who owns it?
I
we don't know yet.
We haven't got
no,
there.
We don't. I mean, okay, that's detailed.
Okay.
So anyway, that's kind of where the sewer and water are the same in that.
So sense. What rate is this reserve fund growing at then? Do we know that particular?
This year it didn't because of
the water didn't, but the sewer did. 200,000.
Sewer did, and water will grow. I mean, next year, after this, you'll see water coming in. The problem is, I don't know if people are going to start using water again. Yeah. So, unfortunately, what happens, this is, you won't like this, but, well, two things happen. One is if people continue to not use as much water, guess what cities end up doing? Bring the water rate to make up for it, because your operating costs are the same.
And they all went up.
Yeah, but one thing it can do, it spreads out your need for other improvements, because we're saying we're going to grow water usage at a percentage. If we are flat for 10 years because people aren't using water, it pushes out your need, but not the redundant part, because that isn't about need. It really is about, we have to have it.
Level of service.
But other items are pushed out further. It's real complicated. Actually, I find it fascinating.
Yeah. How is the water fund thinking about, or the process of buying more water rights in the future, and how is that going to be produced into the budget in the future?
Well, that
it's line itemed in.
Well, no, we have zero on it.
Well, yeah, but we budgeted it last year, and we bought a water.
We bought two credits.
Credits.
But yeah, this budget does not factor in the reserves is where you will buy water credits. And we have enough water. We bought it enough to where the water right that you guys had set aside, but you had never bought any credits. I mean, you had a water right sitting. It needed to be perfected to where we could not lose it. Mm-hmm. And we, in fact, have to have that done here by August, September. We went out, bought two water rights credits, paid too much. Mm-hmm. But we needed to get it. Now then, because we're a municipal water right, you were not, because you are not a city. You only had 5 years from the date that you guys got the water right. Cities have 20, and then you can extend to that. So by us perfecting it, they call it, mm-hmm. we can go 20 years before we do anything. That water right is secure. And in fact, municipal water right, they never take away. Now then, over time, we will need to acquire mitigation credits. Working with, you know, I've been working with the Deschutes River Conservancy. We should not be paying. We paid about $11,000 a credit. Any other town, example, is Redmond. Just take Redmond, or you can take any of the rest of them. They pay about $1,000 to $2,000 a credit. Sisters, where there isn't as much water coming off because just the way it's that basin, pays about $7,000 or $8,000 a credit. The price here is $15,000 they were trying to get, and we negotiated down. It's highway robbery. But there are some other things in work to, over time, we can acquire cheaper water. And through the frog and some other things, it's going to be very complicated over the next few years, but that could all, you know, I think that we're hoping to... The spotted frog.
Right. Yeah. So, that was her sigh, was what I was laughing about.
There's so many moving parts to the water.
Well, that sounds good, because when we tried to buy water rights, it was significantly more than that.
Oh.
I mean, we couldn't even. But you know, we weren't like you say a city, so that brought in a whole different aspect. But it was.
If BioGreen came, then they were going to buy water rights, and I think we negotiated $10,000 a credit.
BioGreen would use more water than the city uses right now, almost.
Yes.
Yeah.
Numerous times.
And so when you're looking at a large industrial user like that, you need to be thinking out ahead. But if we're just looking at steady growth, we got a lot of capacity.
But
right
they
now,
would still so. Be using effluent, wouldn't they? So they wouldn't necessarily, right?
Not really.
Not much. Yeah. Yeah, not much. They like cleaner water.
Should we move on?
Yep.
Okay.
All right. You said that you were saying that the sewer went up, but the water didn't.
They never collected it. So
well, we just the sewer just met its projections better than the water. The sewer over the years raised their rates.
I just got a specific question, and that is. Is if they didn't use more water, mm-hmm. then how can the sewer rate, how can the sewer go up? Because water into the sewers, what come is.
But it was all we were guessing. We put this together last year. The system hadn't even started.
When if you look at the water and sewer fund, what I noticed the big difference is that we had projected the beginning fund balance to be $768,000 and proposed it's at $408,000, so it's significantly lower than we were expecting. Sewer is closer to that number we were expecting. So the beginning fund balance is largely what dictates a lot of what you have to work with, and that in water was a lot lower than
we expected. I just projected too much. To we were going to move.
How much? 400.
400 in. We just didn't have $400,000 to move in.
And that's from the water fees.
Well, it's just, again, yes, it is. It is. You have a new water. We can spend hours on this. It's. We take in X, we spend X to operate it. The difference goes to reserves. But we projected to move 400,000, but we only had
365.
Because people spent 50,000 less on our water revenue didn't meet projections. So, I mean, there's just lots of moving parts.
No, I just see the mechanics of it is that sewer is dependent on how much water they use, and you know.
But Mayor, if I had projected 200,000 more in the sewer to transfer in, I just projected 400,000, and there just wasn't that.
Oh, okay.
So and
I see.
And we didn't know when you're going to start charging for winter sewer usage, because that's what it's based off of. It's a somewhat of a wild guess to a degree as to what's going to come in. You get 2 or 3 years down the road, you're going to be able to know what people are doing in the sewer and everything. Yeah. You win. But I think it's important is that the sewer rates had also gone up historically. They had, over the years, raised, and water did not. Mm. And water was losing money from about 2011 forward. And so this was our first rate increase. And again, there was just a lot of moving parts to that. And water, just, you know, they didn't want to raise water rates. And so it's just one of those things.
We're good?
We're good.
Okay. Yeah.
So Paige, water rates will go up again 3%.
We're good.
Page 11 is the debt reserve fund, which if I'm explaining this correctly, and if I'm not, please stop me. If you look back, what you see is a lot of consistency with this $193,503 amount. And so there are actually no changes to this fund. This is a requirement for the loan saying that we have the final payment in reserve. So this fund will close when the final payment on these loans is paid, and then it'll go to zero and the fund will cease to exist and everything will be squared.
Money will be rolled in. Yeah, they make you have 1 year in reserves.
1 year, yeah.
And that's just, now, some of you know because you're here, we just are refinancing and they'll be working on that at our May 18th. Mm-hmm. We're refinancing the water loans and we're gonna save $670,000. Mm-hmm. The interest rate that the districts had was 4% and we just got 2.2.
Awesome.
So anyway, so that's going to be a nice savings coming up. But yeah, you got that money.
It'll all be set in new infrastructure later on.
Well, it will be. Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Good on that one?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So page 12 is the SDC fund. And SDCs are the system development charges, which are leveraged on new development in the city of Lapine. Right now the city has a water system development charge and a sewer system development charge, which are tied to EDUs. We're currently working with a group to review the methodology for how SDCs are charged. And again, as Rick kind of touched on with reserves, SDCs are calculated on how to pay for the capital projects in the water and sewer master plans over many, many years that are projected with a certain amount of growth. So these are numbers that are based in a methodology and if are required to be by state law, and certain organizations, rightly so, would be questioning us if they weren't. So what you have proposed in the revenue side is $11,708 for water, $24,700 for sewer, and down below we have some money set aside in materials and services to help fund that study that we're going through right now with the methodology, the changes to the methodology. And then down below in reserves, you see reflected the actual numbers from previous years that were collected. Again, this is one of those things, we're projecting that there's going to be this much in STCs paid. What needs to happen at the end of the fiscal year is find out what that actual number was and then update that to the reserve fund and then try to build off of that. So likely what will happen, because we essentially assumed the STCs from the water and sewer districts, is that when we create this new methodology looking at the improvements needed for growth in the city of Lapine, those charges will go up quite a bit. We don't know exactly how much, but that's the process that we're in. Most cities, larger cities, will have other SDCs, stormwater SDC, transportation SDC. We're not there yet. That's not to say that we won't ever have a transportation SDC. We're starting to set some of these reserves aside for repairing the roads we have. If we're going to keep growing and building more roads, it would make sense to have a transportation SDC. We're not crossing that bridge this coming year, but that's something to keep in mind as the city matures.
Is that what you're calling streets, STC?
There's a line item for streets.
Oh, yes. It's zeros, isn't it?
Yeah, it's zeros. That would be the street STC.
Okay. It's
correct.
Just an account that was set up.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that eventually there when we
good observation. That. Yes, that would be that.
Okay.
Better not be collecting one.
No. No. We are not. Questions on the STC fund?
So there's not a methodology study being done yet on the streets STC?
No. What we'd like to do is, again, our going back to sort of the bread and butter right now of the city and not looking beyond our means or going down too many paths, is our essential services, our planning services, but almost more importantly, or equally as important, our public works, sewer and water. And so we want to make sure that our water and sewer SDCs are correct. We've got reserves in place for that we're collecting the adequate SDCs, make sure that that is humming before we start looking at anything else. So there's no plans to do the streets or transportation anytime soon. Yeah.
Sounds good to me.
All right, I'm going to turn to the next page, which is the water fund, worksheet page 13. So if you look at the revenue section, what Rick was mentioning in terms of water service, that is 5340470. It's the fifth one down. If you go across, grabbing a number, looking at what the study projected, making some assumptions, we budgeted $550,000, and more so it looks like we're on track for about $525,000. So that's about $25,000 less than where we were expecting to be. Now, we proposed $550,000 next year because we're raising the rates again 3%. Like Rick mentioned, you know, your rates go up a little bit and you scale back, but then you sort of revert to your normal habits of using water when you want to use water. It's hard too because we haven't gone through a full year, so we don't know exactly how much water is going to be used in May and June, but we would expect a lot more than in January and February. So once you have that historical data, it will help you to inform budgeting process, which is always helpful to have. Otherwise, you're really just kind of shooting for the stars. So all the other revenues are fairly consistent other than the water grant was closed out. Again, that's we received those funds, we use them, and they're now being closed out in the revenue side. Looking down below, unless you have any questions on that page, I'm sorry, I don't want to move on past the revenues and personnel services.
We must have been told this before because we have our history, but I don't remember. Why is there no interest income in the water fund?
The interest is in the general fund.
Everything's in
because we have one bank
we
account
just have
now.
One bank account.
And so it's so hard to go back, and interest is 0.5%. It's not much, but but that's, no, Kitty, it's because we, when we assumed all this stuff, we had like 8 bank accounts.
I remember that.
And you paid to reconcile them, mm-hmm. and we just had money all over. You had $30,000 in this one, $10,000, $100,000, $1 million in this one, and it was like, so it's like, whoa, get rid of these. So we keep track of them separately, but we only have one, or do we have two? We have two.
Three.
Okay. One thing that I'll highlight that helps me a little bit when I look at the very top column, because it's pretty striking, is, you know, you see this 1.6 million, you see 900,000, you see 877, you see 768, you see 408. It looks like it's going down quite a bit, that beginning fund balance. But something that happened a couple of years ago is that a significant amount of resources was transferred out to the reserve fund and also to the SDC fund. Mm-hmm. So those monies are still there. They're just being tracked in a place that aren't dealing with operational costs or capital outlay costs, things that we're going to be paying for this coming year. So that's just, I think, an important
point. The real note to me is that you can see, well, I'm looking up there, you look at your own, but we estimated $550,000 would come in water revenue, and $525,000 is what we think we're going to get. So of the $40,000 we didn't have for reserves, that's $25,000 of it. Mm-hmm. See, and so if we had met our goal, we would have had another $25,000, and that difference would have been $15,000.
Yeah.
But that was really what happened. Now this year we're hoping we have a 3% increase coming. People will start using it again, and so I went back to $550,000. We'll see.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions on that revenue side?
Are you? You're gonna go to the expense side. I had a question there.
Yeah. Is everyone ready to flip? Okay. Page 14 is the moving into the expenses side, materials and services. Why don't you can go ahead and ask your question.
Well, actually, mine was on the payroll.
Oh,
I
thought.
Are you anticipating a drop in payroll next year?
Marginal, it looks like.
Scott's leaving, you have new guys, just wages are a little different.
Yeah.
What about the increase in, wages overall that are going to occur over the next couple of years? Do you think that'll
affect? There's a spreadsheet with Rendell and help put that you haven't got to yet. This actually breaks down all the wages by the position, and because they get funded out of several things. So that is our projection. Yeah. We have a COLA in there of 2.5%, and health insurance here is capped at per person. So the fact that the costs go up, it doesn't affect this because we have a $1,000 cap. So if rate goes from $1,200 to $1,300. The employee picks up the difference. At some point, we'll probably have to look at that $1,000 and maybe have to move that up, because that's been that, but that's kind of how it works. If you have single employees, they're falling under the $1,000 anyway. It's where the families get the, if you get a full family, some of them can get bit
pretty hard.
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing we want to do is work on a salary schedule that we've talked to a company, and we told them after the budget year, because we don't have a 4 or 5 step, and where we've got new employees and stuff, a couple of them, they all want to know, well, what's a great cost of living, but I'm basically making what I made. I never got anything along the way, and most of you are used to a step increase in your first 5 years, sometimes it's 7, mm-hmm. and so we're going to establish something like that. And in here is a raise for Ashley, actually, beyond the cost of living, and 50% of her wages comes out of that fund. So there's $1 an hour, which the council, we'll go to them and ask for approval of that in July, but we did budget that in. But Scott made thousands more than our new replacement. Scott had been there a long time. So that's just kind of how it all shakes out.
So are we ready to move on to the other expenses?
Sure. Page 14, the materials and services page. Some of the larger changes from last budget to this budget are about 9 lines down. Engineering costs, it's proposed at $40,182. Seems a little high. Connie's looking at me with suspicion.
It's an odd number, is what it is.
We use that balance.
I was joking with Ashley. The accounting audit number's interesting, engineering, and then usually miscellaneous.
I know how much engineers cost. I'm very aware.
That number covers working with our engineer of record, but it also includes, from my understanding, paying for this funding assistance package, which is going to be used for securing, hopefully, many, many millions of dollars in grants and low-interest loans for the water and sewer expansion into Cagle and Glenwood.
Basically, there's 25,000. You'll see before it was 15. It went from 15. That's 25,000 from each fund. You'll see the same in sewer. And that is about 50,000 is what's going to cost us for our engineers to go through this year, to go through all the things required to get our funding from the four or five sources, DEQ, Department of Health, USDA, block grants. And so each of them have different funding requirements and reports, and they have things like USDA requires. So, and they'll be at our meetings, our hearings, and all of that. And we did an RFQ, RFP, and ran out competitively, had people put their names in, and actually on the 18th, the council will approve the person that we're going to have and should have an amount. So this is an estimate. Again, I mean, this was done a month ago. We have not negotiated a price yet. And that's just the upfront cost. You're going to spend, you know, money to take that Cagle project on, and then, you know, it all gets added into the.
That's the engineering group that will do it.
Just to find the money.
Just the money.
Now there's a lot of reports to that about need and flows. It is not designed. The next phase, if we move forward, about of the projects, you will spend $1 million.
10%.
$1 million plus will be spent on design.
Mm-hmm. Each.
For sewer and water.
Yeah.
So really, though.
Well, that's why they're all coming to your meetings.
Yeah. They want a piece of the pie.
They want a piece of $1 million.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But actually, so you really, it's important to pick the right company that's going to go off and do your loan request or do that whole loan package.
Yes.
Because they need to be experienced.
Yes, and what we found is some companies called and they said, you know, we want to build the project someday, but that's the next step. But this, where they said, you know, they just didn't have the experience going after the money. There are firms that do that, and I think because Anderson Perry was the one that we'll probably go with, they do it for all these little towns all over Eastern Oregon. The Big Bend firms, they like to build the projects. They like private developers who go to banks and get their own money. They don't really like sitting around and going through the bureaucracy of federal and state things because it's a whole different set of skills.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you know, we're hoping to get 30, 20, 30, 40% grant money out of this project. We'll see where that ends up. That's millions of dollars.
I mean, well, if any of the pieces are just some of the pieces fall in place that were identified when we had the big meeting here. I mean, it's not always pleasant to look at the thing about what kind of demographics you have that qualify you for getting all these low rates, because there's higher cost in supporting that kind of demographic. It's okay with me right now.
Because of that demographic they were quoting when we met with them a month or two ago, 1.75% is probably what we would borrow at today from the USDA. 1.75. It's the lowest like number ever. We got, it was 2.25, then we get a half a point because of some other issues. And so we'd be at 1.75. Mm. And it is, that's almost free. I mean,
yeah.
So we're hitting perfect timing to do Cagle from a financing standpoint.
Right.
Are there any other numbers on there?
The second to the bottom, the water rights expense, we already sort of touched on that, but that's reflecting the $24,000 that was spent on those two mitigation credits that Rick talked about. And that's been sent to the state to final the permit and We've worked on creating a long-term mitigation plan, which says how many mitigation credits need to be bought by the city over the course of the years, and chipping away at that so you're not just have one large cost. So, any other questions on those materials and services in the water fund?
A person asked me a few weeks ago why the city spent $70,000 on a used pickup for reading meters, and I said, I don't think they did.
Mm-hmm. We spent $20,000. The trucks were, we got a state contract, went through that, and they were one was $21,000, $22,000, another one was like $25,000. Yeah, brand new.
That's what I'm not real good at remembering numbers and carrying them around in my head, but the $70,000 was not ringing a bell with me. I didn't think that was correct.
Yeah, you'll have two brand new.
You'll have for two. Yeah. You know, those other ones were terrible. I mean, Scott's real conservative on that stuff, and he's like, I mean, he's barely run. I mean, yeah, they're just. So we got one half ton, or one ton, and then we got just a half ton.
Well, I told this person that I was sure that was incorrect because we have an interim city manager who is a master at negotiation.
I mean, I was amazed. You would have paid $40,000 for that truck almost. It's amazing the difference when you get into that state thing. It's kind of sickening from your side of it if you're buying, because they really give a discount to those. They want them as a fleet. Mm-hmm. And then we sold the old ones for
surplus
$500 or $1,000.
Just to that metal?
Clear out.
That's okay.
They drove them off. We have one had to get a tow truck out.
At least you didn't have to pay.
Right. Yeah.
So I noticed that on this summary by fund and accounting that it shows regular payroll, it shows water and sewer, $115,420, and you had $114,054.
That's just one.
For water and sewer, actually, is what they had.
And where are you at, Frank? Yeah.
I'm still looking. I'm still looking at the regular payroll. Because on this sheet of paper, we have $115,000 and we have $114,000 budgeted. So I'm afraid that if this is truly a good budget, that this number needs to go up.
Well, right, what I'm looking at is it says down at the bottom where it's got the little green summary by fund account. See the water column?
Yeah.
If those numbers add up, it's 167, and we rounded. I mean, we've got it at 170 because you know. But
is that
that's according to.
Yeah, we don't care by line. You care by total personnel.
Total,
so you've got a little bit of wiggle room there.
$3,000
between 167 and 170.
Okay.
The little individual lines don't matter as much as the total.
So you're so what you're saying? Is
oh, another.
So maybe over.
Yeah. Oh, Brian is. The other, what's that?
No, go ahead.
Well, Brian, the other thing that you will notice a little bit, we add, go to the far right of the big spread. See that 1%?
Yes.
Says management adjustment?
Yeah.
Summer, who was our CPA at the time, said that adds 1% to everything for a cushion.
Okay.
Oh. So that is... And that is $445,206.
Yeah.
And if you go over to the total below, it's $445,207 because we don't do cents. We round it up.
Yeah.
So it balances. So you actually have another one. Normally, we're going to spend under those numbers a little. But we guessed ahead that one of our guys is going to get another certificate.
Yeah.
So you guessed ahead on that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, when does he get it? Mm-hmm. Halfway through the year, three-quarter of the way. Mm-hmm. But we keep it pretty tight. Our payroll is pretty low in there. Mm-hmm. Good question on that.
Page 15, the water fund, getting into the capital outlay, debt service, and some of the transfers. At the top, really the only change there is the finalizing of the water master plan update, which was a grant we received from the Infrastructure Finance Authority, but those funds have been spent, so that's why you see it zeroed out there. We're proposing the same as last year with equipment purchases and construction expenses for a total of $25,000. Let's see here, down under debt service, that's again just rolling over essentially. Under the transfers out, this is where you see the transfer out to the general fund of $50,000, 15 from the sewer fund was transferred out, 15 from the water fund. And then you see the zeroing out of a proposed transfer out to reserve funds next year. And to the left of that, you see what's the change from $400,000 budgeted this year to the actual of
$365,000. Okay.
And then contingency and the unappropriated funding, ending fund balance were held steady.
You know, we just keep those because you got a big system and that, you know, we've never spent it, so yeah. It just rolls forward every year, so it's not a cost. But you know, $200,000, if you had some catastrophe that we needed in here, you just don't know, and I like to keep not appropriated, you need, but I don't believe it's ever been touched. The district's probably had a contingency. I doubt it's ever used. It's just, it's there. So my guess is you'll just see that roll forward. Mm-hmm. It's been paid for what years ago.
Yeah, that unappropriate ending fund balance let's make sure that your beginning fund balance next year, you have something to work with, so you're not just scraping by with the revenues that year, so as well as everything else that carries over, like the contingency that isn't spent, as Rick mentioned. Any questions on that page 15 of the water fund?
I actually have a question, because I was just thinking about the new loan.
Okay.
Is this going to cover the new loan payment?
Our new loan is going to be less.
That's what I figured, so we're good.
Yeah.
We'll
end up with a new number for reserve, because it's going to be a little bit less, because right. They make you keep a year. We'll know those numbers probably August or something.
Okay, so as long as we can.
Yeah.
As you budget it higher, you'll be good.
Yeah.
Sure.
The way I understand it, the estimate he sent, the payments, I think we...
I just didn't know if you shortened the term.
We did, but there's such a savings in this.
In the interest.
That
it
it's,
still comes in.
Yeah. Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, that's a good one.
What's the new terms on the years?
We just assumed what you had. In other words, it's going to... I think they only cut... They just brought it down. We lost two years off or something. Mm-hmm. So it's a less interest, and then, well... At that rate, 2 years is $400,000.
Yeah.
Because it's about $200,000 a year. So, and actually, they might have taken three or four.
Years.
We're not done with it yet. It's they've told us what we're going to save, and that we have our bond council. And actually, again, we'll start into this in May, and then that'll play itself out. They got payoff notices from the USDA. Ashley's been helping work get that from them, and USDA probably wishes we were staying.
Yeah, but they do.
Any other
questions? Okay. All right. We last one. Flip over to page 16, which is the sewer fund. Looking at that top section, the revenues. Again, you know, looking at that a little higher beginning fund balance always helps. And zeroing out of the sewer grants, actually looks like coming fairly close on the sewer service revenue. That's 52,340,480, that line item, sorry. And we budgeted 460,000. Looks like we're projecting to come in about 440,000. So again, still without that historical data. A bit grabbing a number and coming fairly close, but a little under, which will impact on the expenses side, expenditures side. Let's see. We are...
The septage, which is a big number, which is an interesting one, and I know folks here are interested. We had a discussion today with some folks.
Yeah.
We took in 71, we're rejecting 90, but that's kind of volatile because it's the bulk of that business is coming out of Bend, and you don't know if they're going to continue doing that. Secondly, our consultants told us, and then today confirmed by the water sewer guys that were here from the association, it's real problematic how we're kind of doing that, and there's got to be some changes and some upgrades when you take septage and just dump it in like it's kind of being dumped. And there's some future problems if we don't stop and reduce that.
Yeah, our septage rate right now is so low that it pencils out for folks to drive from Bend or even farther to come and drop their septage.
Yeah, well, we're going to look at that. You look in the next few months, look for a change there. You know, and we've discussed that before, and that has to happen. What he said is, you got to get that rate today. They just said he didn't care what the number was. Well, he did. We told him, and he said it needs to be up. You know, we're at 4 cents, I believe.
I think so. He said, yeah, a lot of comparable
needs
ones
to move.
9 cents.
Yeah, it's going to have to go up to six
more.
Or seven and get there. And the other thing is, we got someone bringing their do grease traps. That's one of their things. They bring that down. What you have in the lagoon is looks like icebergs. Mm-hmm. And he said, I would just stop that altogether.
Yeah.
There's probably a reason he's driving down from Bend, and they've been doing that for years.
Yeah.
And so we're gonna, with our new public works manager, we're gonna have the guy from the Water Sewer Association is gonna be our, he's gonna be our in charge person. And so he'll come down and do some reviews out there, help our new staff and everything. And
tip us off on some improvements that need to be made.
Yeah.
Well, especially around that whole assembly.
Yeah.
Ugly.
The septic receiver.
I think he had a truck from almost from Madras driving down here.
You might. I mean, you know, this will be, Kitty and I have talked about it before because she's obviously in that business a little bit, but we've, it is funny, and is that what they do is they don't like the fact that they think if the rate goes up a couple cents, then that's going to make them non-competitive. And, you know, that's not our job to worry about the competitive. In other words, you maybe can rent a room for $30 a night and the Best Western needs 100. It's a different operating, it's a different franchise, you know, it is. And what I've tried to argue with these guys is, I mean, one person handles septic one way, you can come here for this. This is our operating cost, and that's what it costs. And so we'll be working on that, and we'll know when we hit the sweet spot because they won't be driving from Bend.
Part of that too, though, is that the city's rate being so low helps keep our charge low. We're actually charging less than what we otherwise would.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
It makes it less competitive.
Well, what's the average gallons out of a septic tank? 500 or?
1,200.
About 1,200, probably 1,500 gallons.
Yeah, they're anywhere from 1,000 gallons to 1,500 gallons.
So if you go up a penny a gallon, is that like $10?
Yeah, you know.
So if you go up 2 cents, it's $20 out of a $300 or $400 job or $200 job. So I mean, it's not.
If you raise your fee by $10 to $15 per service, nobody squawks.
Yeah.
You know, if you do it every year, they could.
Yes. Yeah.
It was a little bit of a wake up call for us because he was saying that partially the unique system that we have with the lagoons and the separation of the solids and the liquids, not to get into too many details, but when you have that septic dumped in the lagoons, it creates what is going to need to be dredged in the future, which could cost many, many millions of dollars that would come out of the sewer fund. And so if it's lowering the cost for folks in unincorporated Deschutes County to save $15 or $20 or in Bend on their fee, and ultimately the city's going to bear that burden, that's something that needs to be fixed.
Yeah. And the problem is I might feel bad for the local companies, they might have to pay more, but I don't think we want to continue to let Ben come down here and drop their stuff. They're just giving us their problems.
And it uses up our capacity. Exactly. And so we're, and both our consultants have all said that, so we haven't had time. We knew we're waiting for the SDC thing, but we're going to go out and raise that, and that'll happen before the end of this year.
Yeah,
I mean, not talking this year, I'm talking
it'll take
this calendar.
It'll take July 1.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if I doubt that we'll get that done by July 1, but.
Well, okay.
Because we'd have to have it at the May meeting. So.
Well, we have our rate resolution for water and sewer at the May meeting, and septage is included in there.
I'd probably feel better if we have a little more pocket put into what the number should be, and, you know, again.
Well,
I just don't want to go throw a number out. And just, you know, we need to kind of think through what it is.
But I think also shutting that grease trap down is because when you go to clean it out, guess what you're going to have? You're going to have a bed of grease.
If they don't allow it, where are they going to take it then? Do they take it to Bend?
Oh, I think they can take it to Bend maybe, but they've got to pay a bunch.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's really, really hard on disposal systems, and what that's called is fog, fat, oil,
fog.
Grease.
Okay.
And it really gums up the works in these processing plants and everything. And you're absolutely right, Ken and Corey, it is a problem that is going to be building for the city. And it's enough that you take it from our own residents and businesses here. But that's a thing.
But that's mixed in with, but what I think, and I'm not 100% sure in this, I have a feeling there's a company, they go around and do grease traps. In other words, when you do restaurants, there's going to be some grease with it. But what this company does is that's all they do.
Well, they sell the
grease. Then they're coming, well, whatever, they ain't selling this.
They come and dump it.
Dumping it in our lagoon. But they're taking out of the grease traps and things. But that's their business. They only go do restaurants.
So like right now, the restaurants have a grease trap here, right?
Yeah, well, our code requires it. There are probably a few.
And who empties those? The private company or you guys?
Well, grease traps, we don't necessarily go around cleaning grease traps.
Yes,
we do for the senior center.
For anybody who has one.
How do we charge for that?
We charge a separate fee for that. It's probably right there.
Rick just learned something.
Oh, I learned something.
Corey, make note of this.
We've only taken $1,000, so we ain't cleaning many.
Yeah.
So it's $125 per time, and it looks like they probably did it once last year.
Something's weird about that.
So the real question is that something going to continue, or are you going to...
Well, you know, that's a service. I think if it's our own people, again, it's just bringing in the Deschutes County.
But you know, if you had looked at that, if you look way back when, and they had looked at, you know, having a contingency fund to replace that or, you know, change it as technology goes along, that'd have been a contingency fund. I mean, you'd have charged enough to establish running some money into a contingency fund, because I have no doubt that there's special systems designed just for that. I mean, logically, it would be. So,
Give me something to think about.
So yeah, we're learning on that whole septage thing, and we've worried about it for a while. And so we're gonna, you know, and I think could be someday you just, other than the local stuff, you just don't even allow it. You just again, it's you got to think it through, because it'll take $70,000 off here.
So let me ask you, do these people coming down doing that have a business license?
I couldn't tell.
They wouldn't be conducting business out here.
Some do, but some may not be actually producing, doing business here. All they're doing
is they're
paying for service from you guys, the city.
Like,
so I don't think they'd have a business license necessarily.
Most of them.
Well,
because they're not conducting business.
We don't know that. Let's not spend time here on that.
Well,
but
think about making them have a business license.
Yeah, that's Patty's job. She's to be taking on business licenses.
Yeah, we're getting into city council concerns here.
Yeah.
Any other questions on this page 16 of the sewer fund? Are we ready to flip over to expenses other than personnel and revenue?
Personnel would be exactly the same.
Yep. Okay. Expenses on the sewer fund, similar to the water fund, you'll see engineering costs going up significantly. It's got that $40,182, which is exactly what was budgeted in the water fund. As Rick mentioned, $25,000 of that is for the funding assistance for Cagle and Glenwood water and sewer expansion. Let's see, working down, another large change. Well, it's not really a large change, actually, because we had budgeted $100,000 last year for repairs, maintenance of materials, and we hadn't spent much this year. But again, when you're working with sewer utilities where a pump can go down or something like that, and you have a large purchase or the unexpected, so putting a larger line item there amount is being conservative and saying that we have funds budgeted if something comes up,
and then you don't spend it and carry to the top
for carryover.
What about the what kind of software and IT are we talking about in that $8,000, and then the website design and maintenance?
Yeah, we pay an annual fee to them.
We split between the water, sewer, general fund, and everything, because it maintains
Cassell,
our
Cassell software system for our billing software and all that.
It's just a split up for different divisions.
Yeah, we've got it.
Okay.
Which that the system works great. We've got lots of new people get on the online paying, which is really nice. Yeah. So it's all automatic. And
what's this new forest fire protection fee, and who's it go to?
That's actually not new necessarily.
Or it was actually last year.
Okay, well, last year it was new,
yeah.
But it was paid for through the miscellaneous section of the budget, and so we decided to create a new line item because it's
that is the free land we got from the federal government. When the Forest Service owned it, they fought the fire on it. So now it's considered private timberland. And all private timberlands like that in the state of Oregon, you have to pay a fee per acre to the Oregon State Department of Forestry. See, the fire department doesn't protect it, and we got 780 acres out there now.
So you thought they were doing you a favor by giving you land, see?
Yeah. So we then calculate that. So now ODF, Oregon Department of Forestry, with the retardant planes and everything else, they come take care of it, and if it starts there and burns out,
they finish it.
It's on them.
But you have to pay the fee, though.
We have to pay the fee. And you know, you probably have got some transients out there, and you know, guys on four wheelers. I mean, it's a forest, and so. And we don't have a forester. I've never even been on the land. I've always thought I need to go out there sometime and drive through the thing. I've never been on it. I don't know what it looks like.
It's trees and dirt.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
But we were, of course, right? We paid for it out of the general fund, and then I said, oh God, we got to get this. And that's a sewer, because that's where the sewer expansion is going to be.
Yeah.
So we didn't take that out of water. It's just here.
Perfect. Sure.
Any other questions on this page 17?
Yeah, what do vehicles does the city own?
For Public Works?
For Public Works.
We have three. Well, right now we have two trucks. But we own...
We have two septic trucks.
We have a vacuum truck.
You have two septic trucks. Do you have the Vactor truck?
We have a Vactor truck. Yeah.
Two septic trucks, a Vactor truck, a dump truck, the two pickups, and then some beaters.
I'm just questioning the $5,000 proposed repairs and maintenance on vehicles, if that's high enough. But if there's enough wiggle room in other line items, then it's... Yeah, what's the age of it?
Well, you have equipment and vehicles, so you have both, so
yeah.
You could probably take a
vehicle. I know, in fact, we were talking about getting rid of having those three lines where they got three of them on vehicles, combining it into one.
Mm-hmm.
We had talked about that. In fact, we started to, and then we didn't.
Easier.
Yeah. Could do that.
Cause
equipment, material, and vehicles.
Yeah. It was like...
But I think...
Mostly, we have not spent a lot on repairs, although it could hit you, a diesel motor go out on that Vactor truck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know.
Well, you haven't gotten up there, if that's going to be...
Well, but you're right.
But you can use the...
But under the law, and mow a lot of, you know, so as long as the fund, so if you go over $5,000, you don't spend it on meetings. Mm-hmm. And you want to try to get it kind of where you want to be, but isn't that right? As long as that $282,000 isn't exceeded,
yeah,
you actually meet the budget law.
Yeah, you don't have to you don't have to amend the budget.
Correct.
The line items.
I think the total amount of the fund.
I mean, at this point, I think you're more likely to amend the revenue side than your expense side if something were to change drastically.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're ready to flip over to page 18. Looking at the capital outlay, transfers, contingency, and unappropriated ending fund balance. Let's see here, on capital outlay. So we've started to spend some money on the WikiUp lift station project. We budgeted about $200,000 on that for this fiscal year, and we're starting to pay out on that. Which that project will carry over, I believe, into next fiscal year as well, which is why you see some money budgeted there for next year. You can see the zeroed out of the sewer master plan update. Again, that's the grant funds that came out going out the other side to pay for that. We have those finalized documents here at City Hall. Scrolling down, we increased the transfer out under reserves from last year was budgeted $150,000. This year we're proposing $200,000 transferring out of the sewer fund into the sewer reserve fund. And then the contingency stayed the same, and we upped the ending unappropriated ending fund balance by about $15,000. So some minor tweaks in some of the sections there, but fairly consistent with the trajectory that we were headed last year and where we want to be.
Any questions on that? Great. Well, thanks, Corey, and we'll probably take a 10-minute break.
Then we're going to come back and do tourism. The fun one.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You can go if you want. Okay. You got it. Mm-hmm. Just to let you know, the best thing that's happened is we have Brenda.